Chapter 34, Waiting on God, 2023. Before I even start on the notes, it occurs to me today just to say what it is. We can't wait on him. We don't. We get impatient and we do things that get us so in trouble. We chase money, property, and prestige. We will not stay still. We get ourselves in so much trouble, it is ridiculously retarded how much trouble we will get ourselves in. And we don't have an answer right now, and we pray to God, and we get an idea to do something, and we say it's God. We say it's God, and we say it's God right now. God gave me the idea. And we just get ourselves farther and farther and farther into the lesson he is going to teach. You know, we say the devil made me do it. Yeah, maybe. We are so hung up on money, property, and prestige, it is a false god. And man, we can't wait on God. We can't wait. We are in trouble up to our eyeballs, and we start making more trouble. We're not even in trouble, and we start waiting. We can't even enjoy the blessings he's given us. We can't sit still and just get used to those. It's not enough. We got to try, push. I want to say up at top, chapter 34, Waiting on God. Waiting on God, sometimes when everything's good, you just kind of get used to the vibe. It's okay. It's okay. Let things settle down. And when things are a mess and you don't know what to do, what do we start doing? The dangerous thing is we keep doing stuff. I got another idea. God, the Holy Spirit gave me the idea. And I can't argue with that. When people say, God told me to do it, how do you argue with that? And they say it all the time. And I always say, how long have you had those voices in your head? Look, I know that we wait on God and we listen for his voice, but we get ourselves in trouble doing things we shouldn't do. And we always say, it's in the name of God, he's moving me to do it. We've all done it. We've all said it. Do I say it? It's not that I avoided it. I just wasn't smart enough to say that one. If I would have had that one, I'd have said it all the time. I never said it, but I didn't think about saying it. Now that I've been on this side of the phone, if I knew that was an opportunity, I'm sure I'd have used it. I'm sure. Look, chapter 34, Waiting on God, 2023. Sit still, pray to him, and stop. Sometimes. If it's on the list and you don't want to do it, that's a whole other thing. But this isn't that. All right, let's begin. If at first you don't succeed, try again. Right? We used to say that when we were kids, right? Look, half the time, it had to do with achieving bad habits, right? Remember? As kids, you're all try again. Oh, how many dumb things did I try again? But when it comes to things that are good, important, we don't seem to remember that one, right? As grown-ups, we say, I tried it. I went to church. I prayed. He didn't do what I asked him to do. It doesn't work. I'm back to trying it my way. The good old-fashioned tricks of the trade I've always used. You know what Scripture says about that? Proverbs 26:11. As a dog returns to his vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. Come on. Waiting on God. Come on. When everything's a mess in our lives, in our heads, when everything's a mess, waiting on God can be very challenging. Sitting still and trying to figure out what's next is crushing, frustrating, hurtful, and at the least, it's maddening. We know that we have made a mess of things. Maybe I think it's my fault. Maybe I don't. Maybe God will help me sort all that out. Maybe that's part of my lesson. The thing is, if I keep pushing on all the things that aren't working, it is possible the mess will continue and possibly get worse, right? It is said that the definition of stupid is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. Under such circumstances, it's time to stop, settle down, and wait for God. Rest, eat, sleep, pray. Give a minute, so to speak, and rely on Jesus. Back in the Old Testament, there's a great, wonderful story about a prophet named Elijah. In case you're wondering if God takes care of his own, here's a little story for you. Elijah had a very hard day. He had done all that the Lord had asked and destroyed the priests of Baal destroyed the priests of Baal, the false gods, destroyed the priests of God. That's a pretty big list for the day. Destroyed. Think about that. It's a bloody mess. And Jezebel, King Ahab's wife, had vowed to kill Elijah for what he had done to her priest. This is under the order of God. Elijah was ordered to do such a thing. And now it was over and he was tired. And he felt depressed and exhausted and he was a hunted man. He laid down as if to die in his sadness because he had just done what God had told him to do. And God gave him the power to do it. All that work and now, as we say, nobody likes me. But he forgot that God does like him, loves him, and will provide for Elijah. 1 Kings 19, 5 and 7, great, this is great. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. Can you dig that? Elijah woke up, and food had been prepared for him, water to drink set by his head to refresh, and an angel of the Lord to tuck him in to a sleep. Awesome. Awesome. That is the quintessential meaning of chapter 34, if you can sit still. Elijah is so tired, he could only wait on God. He had nothing left. And there in the middle of the desert, God was there to love Elijah. And not once, but twice. 1 Kings 7. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. God dropped by and took care of our brother Elijah. The journey is too hard, so let's rest a moment. There is God. Rest a moment. Wait on God. The journey is too great for you and me, and sometimes we got to remember with God all things are possible. Matthew 19, 23 and 30. With men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Somebody told me once, Christians are a lot like tea bags. You don't know what they're made of until you put them into hot water. Hebrews 11, 6, and it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. Before you start saying this is God and God directed me to, half the time when people say that, everything's okay. And they just can't get their head around that where they're at right now is where God wants them to be. They can't believe that. They believe they have to be more. There has to be more. And God is giving me the ideas to do it. Well, God may or may not be giving you the ideas to do it. Definitely, if God is not giving you the ideas, you will destroy the resources that you have left. Trying to get more. Waiting on God sometimes doesn't mean that you have to be completely blown out. But when you are completely blown out, it's good to sit still and pray. And also do your chores while you're waiting. Do your chores. Look, maybe you're in the hot water of temptation or testing right now, and you're saying, this is trying my faith. I understand that. I don't know if I can get through this. I understand that. In fact, I'm starting to lose my faith. I understand that. James 1, 2, 4. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. In chapter 34, you and God prepare the work. Implement learning skills. Break bad habits. Learn to pray. Learn to begin to learn how to study and learn to consistently show up for work, clear-headed, ready to serve. How many of you tell me you're too busy to do an assignment? How many? You're too busy to do an assignment. You're doing so many things that God gave you to do. You're too busy for the assignment. You can't stop and wait for God to do the assignment with you. You can't just stop and let him write an assignment with you. What do you suppose he would want you to say? Well, you won't know if you don't sit down and do it. When you wait for God, you prepare work, implement learning, break bad habits, learn more about praying, learn to begin to have a more complete relationship with Him. You learn how to consistently show up for the work He wants you to do, not the one you think you should be doing. And you learn to be clear-headed when you wait for Him, to be clear-headed. It's hard. Chapter 34, waiting on God, there is no plan when you're waiting on God. You think there is. You got to make up a plan. But if you can calm down and learn, it's better. Make no mistake, in my testimony, I called on God specifically. I asked God to help me when everything had failed. I was at my worst end. I didn't know what else to do. I was dead in the water. And in my prayer, I looked up and He was already there. This is my testimony. I can't tell you what He'll do with you. Yes, I can, because I have studied in the Word. He is there for every one of you. You are His child, and nothing can take you from Him, but you got to say okay first. You got to say okay first. I called on God, and He was already there. And in my studies, I learned this great story of Elijah. Rest, eat, prepare, and He will direct me at the correct moment in all matters. Oh, truth. Psalm 27:13. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. The list appears day by day if you wait for Him. And I, this version of me in Christ, had already started. In chapter 34, waiting on God, when I finally decide to let Him direct me, I had already started. I had already started. Mark 5:36, overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, "Don't be afraid, just believe." Now, sometimes waiting on God, He won't let you get through. He doesn't want you to hurt yourself anymore. That's okay too. You know, sometimes we got so many plans, He just won't let them happen. And He will teach you what is good for you and what is not good for you. What do we fear? What did I fear most? What do I fear most about chapter 34? Why did I put it in this set of chapters? What did I fear? What am I afraid of? Why would I put this in here as a warning? Why would I do that? Waiting on God. Why would I put that in here? What would I be afraid of? Afraid of. I'll tell you what I'm afraid of. Going back to my old ways. Fight yourself. Revolt against yourself. Pray. Read and let God change you. No matter where you're at on the path, you got to stop and listen to Him. You notice the things that I said up top where He didn't do what I wanted, so I'm going back to my old ways. That's what we do. We pray for what we want. Pray for what He wants and what is best for you. What He wants is best for me. Revolt against myself. I have to revolt against myself. Fight myself. I got to stop, pray, read. Does that change? Because I am not in a position anymore where I've lost everything. I've been blessed by God 10 times over. Anything I ever deserved, I don't deserve any of it. Anything I ever deserve, I realize I don't deserve anything. I've been blessed 10 times over. Does that mean I don't stop? I stop all the time because I've been blessed 10 times over. Stop and reassess what I'm doing. Stop. Wait for Him to direct me with what He has given me. Let God change you at each section of your path. Let Him prepare you for what He has in mind. Evolve. Quit it with money, property, and prestige. Quit it. Take care of what you have, and He will give you more. Take care of what you have. I quit bad habits, prepared myself emotionally to stop fighting me. I rested, and then it was time to work. And a job appeared out of nowhere. That was when I had nothing. I quit bad habits. I quit it. I stopped to prepare myself emotionally. And when I'm preparing myself, I don't have time to fight me. I'm doing the chores. I'll talk about chores in a minute. John 1, 5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. When you got God on your side, darkness cannot overcome me. When he's on my side, when he's on your side, cannot overcome it. I can't stress this enough. People that are wildly successful need chapter 34 as much as they did when they had nothing. Waiting on God. God gives you all these blessings. Then what are you going to do with it? Well, everybody says, well, now that I got all this, I'm going to turn it into that. You don't have to turn anything into anything. God will do that for you. If you just take care of what you have, turn yourself into a machine that takes care of chores, of what he has given you. He will give you more if it's your time. You got to pass the test first to wait on him so he can direct you. And many times we can't wait. We give up. We just go back to our old stupid ways. We just got more information, right? The more success we have, the more information we have. We can fail at a higher rate. Am I right? We can fail at a higher rate. He's given us so many blessings. We can leverage all those blessings against everything and fail at a higher rate. We quit waiting on God. Thomas Edison was quoted as saying, many of life's failures are people who did not realize how close they were to success when they gave up. If I could spin that a little bit, you didn't know how close God was to showing you what needed to be shown. You quit waiting on him and took it over, man. In the name of God. How many times have we said it or have we heard it? In the name of the Lord is moving me in this way. I could see it was validated by the fact that this happened and that happened. Now I know it's God's will. We go back to that old silliness. I got a charge card in the mail, $20,000 as soon as I activate it, and I get 1 year free. God must have meant me to have this to get out of trouble. He did not. It's a trap. All of that stuff was a trap. How many of those credit cards did we ever pay off and they came back at 22%? When we are lost, this is the time to completely rely on God. And it doesn't matter whether you've got nothing or everything. You can be quite lost. Am I right? Be brave. Stay quiet. Stay quiet, especially when you've got a lot. When you've got a lot and you don't think it's a lot, you better stop with that assessment. You better stop with the assessment of I don't have enough. But now I want to, in everyone's defense, frustration is part of the game. It's honest. It is. Frustration is honest. Fear is without knowledge and without God, but we know that. We go after the information, and the more successful we are, we understand that we have to go after the information to find out what is God's meaning for us. But there are chores to do while you're doing that, not signatures to sign, right? Not documents to sign. There are chores to do to find out knowledge from him, to let him show you what's going on. But frustration is honest and a part of your testimony that you can share with other people. But slowly, as you learn patience in God, patience, waiting on him. While waiting on him, you learn frustration can be moved to the side, replaced by patience. Patience in a calm that surpasses all understanding. God is with you if you will let him. You'll learn. We all learn to replace knowledge. To replace fear with knowledge. As God moves you along the path, you replace fear with knowledge. This is seriously important. Many people have failed to listen and obey in God's direction. Many people. It happens all the time. People feel they must do something rather than slow down and assess. They move. We all do it on half-baked ideas, unfortunately. Again, perhaps even in the name of all that is good and holy. Jesus warned over and over again, be on your guard. Don't listen to foolishness. Jeremiah 7:24, but they did not obey or incline their ear, but walked in their own counsel and the stubbornness of their evil hearts and went backward and not forward. That is the fear I have of not waiting on God. And I'm stubborn. I don't believe that where I'm at is where he wants me to be. So I must make some moves. I don't want to learn where I'm at. I got to make these moves to get out. I got to do this. I got to do that. Pardon me for a moment while I have a really wonderful sip of Eli's coffee. Kids, stay strong. In him, when there is no plan, stay strong. When there is no plan, don't make a plan when there is no plan. Pray. He will make it clear to you. Well, how will I know God's will? It's usually what you don't want to do. It's usually what you don't want to do. Or it's that you don't want to stop doing what you are doing and wait for him. You don't want to stop doing what you're doing. So I talked about chores. This is even worse. At this point, everybody will hang up. They've had enough of me. They don't want to talk about me anymore because here is how we wait for God. Here is how I learned to wait for God. I did my chores. What? 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 What about being famous? What about making more money than I've ever had? What about being a mover and a shaker? Wait. What? No, I do my chores. Clean up the office. Wash my truck. Answer the calls I haven't answered very carefully. Clean up accounting line by line. That's hideous, isn't it? What? I don't want to do that. You know, I said it so many times. I'm so blessed by the bookkeepers that are in this company. They are the backbone of the organization. They are the backbone of it. And they get the hardest run. People just ride over them like they just, it's an unsung hero. Try it. Try going through it with your bookkeeper. Clean up accounting. Produce, deliver, and collect what you can. Get on the phone. Mundane task. It sounds like avoiding the problem. It is not. It is waiting on God's time. It was waiting on God's time. And he always showed up. The next step he made for me is clear. Continue to pray upon the Holy Spirit's direction. Continue to pray. He will make the next step available to you. He always does. Well, how do I know? Well, generally, you don't want to do it. But it's clear what is available to do. We just decide we don't want to do it. Why do you think he doesn't tell us the future? Because we will argue with him. I don't know if I think that's good for me. You know, waiting on God means continue to pray upon the Holy Spirit's direction and protection. Sometimes protection from yourself, protection from the enemy, of course. But we always give the enemy too much credit. We give the devil so much credit. The devil made me do it. Oh, man, come on. You want it so bad. You don't want to be where you're at so bad, you know, so bad that you won't learn the lesson. I'm that way. I'm talking about me. I'm talking about me. If it happens to apply to you, you might want to listen. Because in the arms of God, think of the story of Elijah. Even after doing the hard work, and now he's not happy with the work he did. He did everything. Elijah's story is amazing. He proved to an entire people, set of people, that God is God. He proved it right in front of them. Read about it. It's the most wonderful story ever. He proved it beyond the shadow of a doubt that God is God. And then the task at hand was to destroy those who had defiled the one true God. Oh, it's an amazing story. And then he was bummed, tired. Everybody wanted to kill him. God actually commands us not to fear or worry. Do you know that? He actually commands us not to fear or worry. James 1:6, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. Well, I don't know if I should do it. I don't know if I want to. No, I'm going to do this. I know what I'm going to do. I'm not going to do that. I'm not doubting. Wait on God. He will give you the strength to do. How do you know? Well, you generally don't want to do it. And when you start doing it, you find that you have strength in it. You might even find that you love what you're doing. God, actually, again, I say commands us not to fear or worry. The phrase fear not is used at least 80 times in the Bible, most likely because he knows the enemy uses fear to decrease our hope and limit our victories. Huh? Decrease our hope and limit our victories. Sometimes we have caused our problem. Like I said, we have caused our own problems. Sometimes problems just happen. What we do in the ebb and flow of life is the measure of each one of us. What we do in the ebb and flow of life is the measure of each one of us and a measure of our relationship with God. Look, there's not many of us left. This is a remnant left on earth. You have the greatest power in the universe at your fingertips, and the whole world decides not to use it. That's okay, more for me. Pat, how do you say that? Look, I'm serious. The power that I've seen in God, I want that. I want that. And when I have it, I want more of it. It's the greatest power ever. Alcohol and drugs mean nothing. Nothing. All these things that we want, it means nothing. In the power of God, that hit when I realize that I have strength and power that God has let me borrow from Him to do His work, that's the buzz, man. What we do with that power is the measure of our relationship with Him. When the ship stalls and all seems lost, it could be time before the wind picks up again. It could be time to prepare. While I'm stalled out, chores. While I'm dead in the water, don't fret, prepare the ship. Make repairs, clean it up, for surely in faith the wind will come again and set the ship sailing on its way faster than ever before, more efficient for sure. Your ship, when you're ready, your life, when you're ready, your relationship with Him, when you're ready. When we experience unresolvable conflict, that's God telling you, let me be God. Let me show you. God is calling you, telling you, lean on me. Let me show you who I am. Let me show you what you can do in me. He knows when you're ready to do what needs to be done. He also knows when you're not ready. But boy, we'll push, won't we? Nah, I did it my way. You don't want that song. Okay, Frank was not right in that one. I did it my way. My way is like Joshua says, in this house we choose to serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. Matthew 6:34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. What do you do when you're watching the world fall? What do I do? I'm watching the world fall apart all around me into the hands of the wicked. Am I right? We're watching it go all over the place. What do I do? What do you do when all around you right is wrong and wrong is right? Isaiah 43:1. Don't fear. Don't fear. There it is again. Don't fear. It doesn't say, do something. Come on, do something. It says, don't fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Well, it didn't tell me to do anything there. Yeah, it did. It told you to calm down. I got this. I got this. In time, unresolved conflict. You don't know what to do. There's nothing to do. You can't do anything. I don't know what to do. I'm sure of imminent failure. Do things that need to be done. Chores. Things that you can accomplish. The simplest of tasks. Complete them. And your mind will be working. You will be working with God, especially when you're saying prayers. As it said, pray unceasingly. Read scripture. Listen to Bible study. When you say you can't do this assignment for God, this is your testimony. How many companies are in my responsibility? I have to do this every week. Do you think this is just already written from last year and I just read it? I go through this every year. It takes 3 days to prepare this, a little along the way, a little bit along the way, a little bit while I'm doing my chores. 1 Corinthians 16:13, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong. Pray to the Lord and lean on Him for direction and courage. Wait for clear direction. Be patient, have faith. It is the most difficult thing on the list. This is the most difficult thing on the list. To do things you can do, the things He's directed you to do. And we get so busy running around in circles trying to do something because we think something is missing and we're going to miss out on it. We're not going to make it. Time is of the essence. We got to get this show on the road. as if God is not aware of all time. God can change the laws of physics. Why? He is the creator and the inventor of physics. Do the things you can do, the things he's already given you, directed you to do, to take care of what you have been given. Take care of the people around you. The rest is on God, and he never fails me or you. You've heard that saying before. I am responsible to take the action. God is responsible for the results. But we say, I got to do this, I got to do that, until we got nothing. You can say, I got to do this and I got to do that, and you can keep pushing until you got nothing. I've seen it. How many people have come back to me years later and said, please help me, there's nothing I can do, it's all gone. Lamentations 3:25, the Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It's a big one today, kids. Now I made up a little word thing here at the end. I hope you can dig it. Chapter 34, entitled Waiting on God. In this lesson, I have many cautionary comments, but one I have in particular, one that I like to say to myself. When you finally decide to wait on God, make sure he's not standing right in front of you, waiting on you. Let's pray, John.